Welcome to the Dan Decker Books Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Decker. This podcast is dedicated to providing my books in full, unabridged audio format. Look for new episodes every Tuesday. Now, on with the show. Black Brick by Dan Decker. Welcome back to the Dan Decker Books Podcast. We are still reading Black Brick. Here's an excerpt of what we read last week. My next thought was for Shannon. She was over by the exit again. I could tell that she'd been trying to determine whether she'd be able to survive a jump. We made eye contact. She said something I could not hear, but it looked like her lips had formed the words, "You idiot." She leaped over the row in front of her and lay down between the seats. I dove to the floor and grabbed onto the bottom of the nearest bench. The train on the other track had met up with us and was now passing by on the other side. I held my breath, hoping for a miracle. It did not come. The explosion came several heartbeats later. Our train lurched. There was a brief second when I thought that we were going to be all right, and then we rolled. Now, continuing on this week. 10. I opened my eyes with a start. The heavy smell of smoke, burning rubber, and blood filled the air. The train car had been cast in gloom, but there was light overhead. From my vantage point, I could not determine the exact source of the light, but I could at least tell that some of it was coming from a fire. Alarmed, I looked around and was relieved that I could not see flames. How long had I been out? I looked at my watch, but I could not remember what time it had been when the bomb had gone off. My best guess was that I'd been unconscious for only a few minutes. I hoped it had not been longer. The emergency response crews would be on the scene shortly. Shannon and I needed to be gone before that happened. I tried to stand but slipped and fell, knocking my head against an armrest. The floor was wrong. I looked up and saw rows of seats on the wall. I felt foolish for not remembering that the train car had been knocked over by the blast. Once I was on my feet again, I could see that the light was coming through the broken windows that were now overhead. My original assessment that the reflected firelight had been coming from outside was correct. I could just see the tips of flames dancing out there. When I took a step, shards of glass crunched underneath my foot. I paused and tried to listen for the emergency response vehicles over the sounds of the nearby burning fire and the cries of the injured passengers. It was made doubly hard because there was a ringing in my ears as well. Nothing. A wave of guilt hit me when I heard a long groan. I had done this. I had thrown the bomb out of the window. Taking a deep breath, I released it and closed my eyes. I had not been responsible for this, and I knew it. I tried to put the matter from my mind. This was something to deal with later. Shannon. My voice came out unsteady. It sounded far away. There was a dull ringing in my ears. I licked my lips and tasted blood. I tried a bit louder. Shannon. Nice job, dummy, Shannon said. She was about 6 feet away, in the middle of a heap of passengers. I rushed to her, taking care not to step on anybody else. Many of the people around her were starting to sit up. A few were making sounds of pain. The dark made it hard for me to tell if anybody was in need of serious medical attention. I hoped they were not, partially for selfish reasons. If they were, I did not think I would be able to leave until proper medical help arrived, or I was certain they would survive. I knelt beside Shannon and put a hand on her head as she tried to get up. Her forehead felt cool and was slippery. I held my hand up to the light and saw that it was covered in blood. Glad that my slacks were black today, I wiped it onto my thigh. "Wait," I said, to keep her from moving. I kneeled beside her and did my best to examine her in the low level of light. There was blood on her face and arms as well, but nothing looked broken. She was cast in shadow, so I was unable to tell if her pupils were dilated. "Do you feel pain?" She looked like she had a concussion. I probably did too, for that matter. My head felt awful. "Of course I feel pain. Everything hurts," she said. "Anything broken?" I asked. "No," she snapped, as I remembered that I could use my phone as a flashlight. "Get off me. I should have taken the bomb. A child would have done better than you. Throwing a bomb onto the train tracks? Did somebody replace your brains with jello?" "I did not hear you offering to take it. I pulled out my phone and tried to examine her using the flashlight app, but Shannon pushed me out of the way. That's because I took the door, which I got open, didn't I? It's your fault now that we can't use it. I released my hold on her and recognized that she was correct. The door was on the side facing the ground. Her snarky attitude set my mind at ease about her well-being, but I could feel my conscience pricking up in the back of my mind again. Once my panic for Shannon was gone, I turned my attentions to those around me and considered making a call to the authorities, but hesitated because I wanted to make sure that Shannon and I had enough time to disappear. Malcolm had been on the phone when the bomb had gone off. I seemed to remember him saying that he'd been talking to the police, but he might have been trying to get through to the train operator like I had asked him to do. I could not remember. My mind was foggy. When I overheard a woman on her phone reporting what happened, that solved my dilemma. Good enough. Help would soon be on the way. We still needed to get out of here and catch up to Cherry and Tom. Using my phone as a light, I did a quick circuit, checking for serious injuries. I was relieved that I did not see anybody that required immediate attention. The only dead I found were those who had died earlier in the gunfight. This did not alleviate any of my guilt, though. Our train car had been further on before the explosion. Others would not be so lucky. People had undoubtedly died. When I was satisfied that I could leave the train car without feeling like I was abandoning somebody in serious need of help, I returned to Shannon. She was standing and holding a handkerchief to the side of her head. Presuming that this was the cause of the blood, I asked to see it. I was relieved to see that it was not bad. "Time to get out of here," Shannon said. "You sure you can make it?" I asked. She just glared at me in response, daring me to question her health again. It was a legitimate question, but I let it go. Using a seat as a foothold, I grabbed onto the lip of a broken window. I could not tell if this was the window I'd cleared out earlier because every other window had broken during the wreck. As I scrambled through to the top of the overturned car, several shards of glass ripped my suit jacket on the way out. One even drew a little blood from my side. Once I was on top, I surveyed the mess, squinting while my eyes adjusted to the direct sunlight and tried to make sense of the damage the explosion had caused. The oncoming train that had hit the bomb was off the track, collapsed, the cars folded into each other and burning. The flames reached about 30 feet into the air. It was no wonder that I had seen them from inside. Many of the cars from our train were overturned. I tried again to stuff my guilt away to deal with it later. None of this was my fault. I just wished I would have noticed the pull. I was not sure what I would have done if I had seen the other train. The beeping had been getting louder just before I threw it. If I'd have known about the second train, I would have hesitated, and we'd be dead right now. There was a voice inside my head that said it was better that other people had died rather than us, but I shut it out. I could not afford to think like that. Making those kinds of judgments was not something I should be doing. There was a sound coming from below me. When I looked, Shannon was coming through the window I had used. I reached my hand down to her, but she pushed it away. I was not surprised, but I would have thought that if ever there were a situation where she would be glad for a helping hand, this would have been it. "We don't have time for you to admire your handiwork," Shannon said as she surveyed the scene. "We need to get going." The comment made me clench my fists. Couldn't she lay off? I had only been trying to do what I could to help. Sure, it had not worked out, but I had not heard her volunteering to handle the bomb. She had been only too glad to focus on the door and leave it to me. I had taken on the no-win situation and done the best I could, especially because Malcolm had been hovering over me, every step of the way, making it difficult to work. Another head appeared in the window while I took a deep breath and tried to calm myself. Speak of the devil. I offered Malcolm a hand, despite the fact that I was still frustrated with his earlier actions. He took it and was bleeding in several new places once he was up. He looked like he survived the wreck well enough. When I glanced back at Shannon, her face reflected her true emotions about the situation. Despite her words, laying the blame on me, she was feeling guilt for not getting the bomb off the train in time to save lives. I could understand that, and I could even understand her need to pin the blame on me. That helped me put things into perspective. I had not built the bomb or left it on the train. This was Payne's fault, and I needed to get that through my thick head. "Help the others," I said to Malcolm, and walked to the side of the overturned car, looking for a way down. Shannon was already there, doing the same thing. "You cannot leave," Malcolm said, when he saw what we were doing. I did not turn back. I felt bad for not staying to help, but there was little that we could do. The police and emergency response teams would be here soon, and they were trained to handle situations like this. There was a loud crack, and I looked over to one of the burning cars. There was another, that coincided with a burst pushing the flames even higher. It was followed by several more. I hoped the emergency teams were close. It took some finagling, but we used the bottom of the train car to climb down. Once we had, I took a deep breath. The anger and frustration I had been feeling towards Shannon and Malcolm had dissipated. My attention was now focusing on Payne. There had not been a good reason for him to do what he did. The people on the train had not been a threat. I did not need to ask Shannon what she wanted to do next, because she was already on her phone, trying to get a hold of Cherry, so we could catch up to the others. I was glad that she wanted to continue our mission as well, because I was not about to turn back to Blackbrick and had not wanted to leave her behind. Shannon was a mess, though. The cut on her head had stopped bleeding, but we'd have to stop to clean the blood off her face and out of her hair. Luckily, her coat had taken the worst of the blood, and once we ditched it, she looked presentable. I had a sudden thought and checked my pocket. The pistol I had used to shoot out the window was missing. I tried to remember what I had done with it after I had used it last. I was drawing a blank. Had I set it down on one of the seats, or had it come out of my pocket during the explosion? I berated myself for not thinking about it until now, and turned back to the car as the sound of sirens filled the air. There was not time to go back. That was one unnecessary piece of evidence that should not have been left behind. I still had another pistol on me, in addition to the backup I kept on my ankle, but Beltran would not be happy. He hated to get his hands involved in other agencies to clean up a mess. That's it for this week. I hope you have enjoyed the show. Tune in next week for another installment of the Dan Decker Books Podcast. One last thing before you go. Sign up for my newsletter at dandeckerbooks.com, and you will receive a free ebook. The text, audio, and music for this show are all copyrighted by Dan Decker. All rights reserved. This podcast is published by Xander Revolutions LC.